In this episode of Heads in the Cloud, we're joined by industry veteran David Mario Smith and a special guest host. Stay tuned for more.
Heads in the Cloud. With your hosts, David Portnowitz and Graham Potter.
Welcome to today's episode of Heads in the Cloud. I'm joined by not Graham Potter.
I am not Graham Potter. I am Frederick Philip Von Weiss, the poor man's Graham Potter.
Just the American version.
Yeah, the American version of Graham Potter.
Now, Graham is out sick
this
week.
We're the same age.
You look very similar.
Yeah, I get that a lot.
Yeah. Graham is out sick. Unfortunately, he's caught the flu.
The flukitis.
The robust flu that is spread around the country. Like a flu.
Like a flu does, yeah.
Now, so Frederick is going to step in. He's one of our producers here. Frederick's going to fill in today. We're going to have a great show. We're going to be joined by David Mario Smith.
Super excited.
Yeah, founder and principal analyst over at Inflow Analysis, a former Gartner dude.
16 years.
Yeah, he's industry veteran, knows everybody, speaks a lot, does a ton of research, a lot of work. If you haven't checked out www.inflowanalysis.com, go ahead and check that out. That's a great site.
And we'll put some links in the show notes. Super smart guy.
Yeah, so we're looking forward to talking to him about what he sees, what his life was like at Gartner, a little bit about his website, what he's up to, talking about UC trends, AI, all sorts of cool stuff. So make sure you stay tuned for that conversation. Frederick, I got to ask your opinion.
I had this happen to me,
and I've had a few different people. So the other day I got an Amazon. This is sort of related to our conversation with David.
Okay.
So the other day I got an Amazon delivery. First off, I ordered a Roku for my TV, and it was same day delivery, which First off I was like, awesome. That's pretty cool because we're in Sarasota, you know, we're not in New York City. So
yeah,
same day delivery, order it. And I didn't order it like at 8 in the morning. It was like 10. So that's pretty impressive from a logistics standpoint.
Go Amazon. All right.
Right. So I order it in the morning. It's get delivered in the afternoon. I'm skeptical about the whole thing getting delivered on the same day. Not only does it get delivered, but I then get, because I have the Amazon app, I get an update that my package has been delivered with a picture of my package on my doorstep.
Yeah, I've been getting that too.
That's the first time I got that.
Oh, no, they do that for me all the time. I had that for like a year now.
No, they haven't had it for a year? They just rolled it out.
I am sorry. I've been getting pictures for like a year now on my Amazon.
Now I feel really stupid.
I can't speak to you feeling stupid about this particular situation, but
so
I can
do you
understand.
Think this is cool, or is this like an invasion of privacy?
No, I think it's great because it's, one, it's preventing them from being liable.
It's definitely a CYA thing for them.
Showing, hey, look, we dropped this off. You got it out of our hands.
Right. So if it gets stolen, then they're not their fault.
Yeah, exactly.
But you're still out of a package. So.
Yeah. I think it's them covering themselves. And I think, two, it's pretty cool because if I want to, say, leave my current location and go home and pick up my package, if it's something sensitive, like if I just got an iPad delivered, I could go and I could pick it up right away.
Yeah, no, I thought it was pretty cool. But that sort of taps into that whole IoT thing, right? You've got I put in an order for something mid-morning, it gets delivered same day.
And you get a picture.
And I got a picture through the app on my, if I go to my Amazon account online, I can see the same picture. So I don't know, I thought it was kind of cool.
Yeah,
story about where technology is today and sort of how quickly you can get things processed and using computer and phone and camera and all that kind of stuff. So I thought it was kind of cool.
Yeah, that is kind of cool. I love that. You not only did you get it the exact same day that you had the photo.
Yeah,
I didn't think they had same day in Sarasota.
Well, see, and this is my question was, I don't know. I don't think it was delivered by UPS or FedEx.
Oh, okay.
Because sometimes Amazon uses their own delivery. Like they hand deliver it with like, I don't know if it's like their own delivery service or if it's, I think Les is shaking his head. Yes. He's showing me something shipped with Amazon. Yeah. So they're using their own delivery, their own delivery service to deliver the package. And I've had packages delivered on Sunday that aren't delivered by UPS or FedEx, but through Amazon too. So, well, no, it's like random people in rando cars. I don't know. It's kind of weird. Maybe it's just Uber drivers.
Sure. Why not? That would be a good thing for them to,
Hey, they already deliver food. They can deliver packages.
They deliver food now?
Uber Eats. What do you mean? Yeah, of course.
I had no idea. No, I've never tried
that. They don't have a huge selection in Sarasota yet.
Yeah, that's why I don't know.
But in like New York, San Francisco, places like that, they've got massive, kind of like Postmates,
Oh, okay, yeah.
Well, we don't really have much Postmates. We don't have much. Yeah, but I know. I feel like we're talking like about Sarasota, like it's like some sort of rural town in the middle of nowhere. We just don't have all those fancy applications that everybody else has.
Yeah, you know what I really enjoy in some of the big cities? They have a few of these companies that will actually deliver, or well, not deliver, but provide you gas. Mm. So you could sign up and they'll gas your car up for you. So you could say, here's my key. They'll go to your car. They'll gas it up for you. I wonder
what's the premium? What's the charge on that?
It's not cheap.
Yeah.
But I mean, if you are in a big city to where you are facing a lot of traffic all the time, yeah, and it's just a big inconvenience for you, you could feel comfortable knowing whenever I go to my automobile, I'm going to have gas in it. Yeah.
What I'm looking forward to here in Sarasota is when we get Whole Foods Prime delivery included, because we don't have it yet, but they said it's coming soon. Mm-hmm. We just got a brand new Whole Foods here for those of you not in the Sarasota area that it'll be nice to have some free delivery for. So that would be cool.
Yeah. Yeah. I like that.
Anyways, I digress. But what's on your mind, Frederick, your first time hosting? Now, just to let our listeners know, Frederick hosts his own podcast, sort of an offshoot of Star to Star. He hosts his own thing. He's got some previous podcasting experience. Yeah, he actually hosts video, too. You've got video.
I'm a podcast veteran from 2015. I do a live video podcast and an audio podcast called The Thunder Nerds, and it's a conversation with the people behind the technology that love what they do and do tech good. So we reach out
tech good?
And do tech good, yeah. So we reach out to a lot of the industry leaders like Chris Coyers and Brad Frost and what have you, and we have them talk about what they're doing and how they do it and what inspired them to pursue their careers.
No one wants to watch Graham and I live. That would be a bad podcast.
I don't know. I'd watch Graham live.
You just watch Graham, not me.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know about you. I can't speak to that point. But like I said, I would watch Graham live. He's a very entertaining guy.
All right.
And you are too. I'm just joking, obviously.
No, but we're excited to have Frederick today. I mean, it's unfortunate that Graham wasn't here. But
yeah, I feel bad that Graham couldn't make it. I hope you're doing well, buddy.
Yeah. So anyways, let's want to jump into our conversation with David?
Yeah. Let's go ahead and talk to David Mario Smith.
Not Luigi.
Not Luigi. No, that's a different character.
Maybe that's his brother.
That's his brother. He's the guy in the green overalls.
All right. Let's see you on the other side. Today on Heads in the Cloud, I am really excited to announce our guest. We have David Mario Smith, who is the founder and principal at Inflow Analysis. David was a Gartner veteran and industry all-star. And David, why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself and welcome to the show. We appreciate you coming on and we love having you.
Welcome, David.
Sure. Thanks. Yeah, as you mentioned, formerly with Gartner, I always like to say that, sort of born and raised at Gartner. It was my first real gig after school, kind of, right? And that's where I really cut my teeth as far as the research and advisory space goes and being an analyst. You learned this, rigorous research methodology on how to analyze markets, vendors, products, and you learn the art of sort of looking ahead and anticipating market and, technology trends and shifts. So it's been a from there now, I've been starting my own firm with Info Analysis, sort of keeping that same trajectory and outlook.
When you were at Gartner, what were you looking? Were you in UCAS? Were you just in what was your focus there?
So I was really focused on at the time heading up the social software and collaboration research area, and so I was a part of that space, and then working very closely aligned with Unified Communications, and then as we shifted to Unified Communications and collaboration, so we sort of became this one umbrella team, sort of focusing on all that. And so my laser focus was around, web conferencing and video conferencing and so forth.
Yeah, and that area has taken off tremendously. What do you see in that space that really excites you? Like, what are you seeing today that sort of is trending forward, and what do you think, where do you think that industry is going?
Yeah, I mean, gosh, it's huge convergence, right? And right now, it's funny, I'm actually writing this piece, this article, where I'm looking at sort of the conferencing space, and I'm really looking at it from the perspective of an experience. And so I'm calling it media experience solutions, right? Because we're seeing where it's not just about, web conferencing or video conferencing. It's this converged conferencing, right? Where it's web, video, and audio. And there, it's a blur between all those different silos. So the silos have gone away. And how do you support overall meeting experiences? And, that will include web audio and video.
And it's interesting because you're seeing that convergence in the UC space with LogMeIn just recently purchased. I mean, that greater sort of significance than what that than what that sort of shows. What do you think about that?
Oh yeah, absolutely. Yeah, you know, it's right, exactly. So yeah, that recent acquisition, you know, we're seeing even more acquisitions just starting to happen now, as you know, I think providers are realizing, you know, that they can't just, you know, look at, or they have to come from where they started from, right? And mm-hmm. then begin to add adjacencies to really complete their portfolio. So I anticipate even more acquisitions and more news that way. Acquisitions, so consolidation and technology convergence happening at the same time.
We always joke on this podcast, we feel like every single episode we talk about a new acquisition. It's like we can't go a single week without an acquisition happening. It's crazy.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Every episode it's like that. What made you go from Gartner then to now founding your own company?
You know, it's sort of taking a look. You know, we sometimes, you know, with info analysis, yeah, I sort of got opportunity, you know, to take a look outside of the typical analyst trappings of sort of getting lost in certain areas of focus, right? Like we talked about, you know, how everything's not converging and so forth. And it was a chance and opportunity to really look at the overall digital workplace, you know, because right now we can no longer look at workplace technology in silos. There's more consolidation, as we talked about, technology convergence. The digital disruption, you know, has brought a whole new drive for connectedness and context. I mean, look at like contact center, right? And CRM spaces. I mean, those now two spaces are now converging. You look at what was, you know, what we looked at as UC, and even that now cannot be solid. Now we're seeing, you know, cloud communications, UCaaS, right? And then also, how do you integrate, you know, communications and collaborations into business processes and business applications and workflow? So it was really a chance to become what I call myself a T-shaped analyst, right? Being able to spread wide, you know, in terms of digital workplace, but still be able to dig deep and have, you know, deep roots in some of the technology discussion.
And how has that been, honing your own site and running that yourself as opposed to coming from Gartner, where you were sort of like working on with a team? I mean, I'm sure there's a big difference there, and I'm sure it's sort of a big sort of culture shock for you.
Oh yeah, it's scary and exciting at the same time. But you know what's actually interesting, and actually haven't, you know, talked about this a lot, but there is a very, you know, a rich Gartner alumni network. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we've all pretty much, you know, supported each other, giving each other advice. I know as I launched out, you know, I reached back to the network and, you know, got some great advice and mentorship, actually. So it's been actually great. So again, scary, but yet exciting at the same time.
Yeah, and I guess it gives you a lot more flexibility to sort of, like you said, reach out to different areas that maybe you weren't focused on previously. It gives you a sort of a bigger venue to talk about things that maybe you have more interest in, or maybe you want to dive deeper in that you didn't have that opportunity before.
Yeah, good point.
Exactly. And a lot more freedom and flexibility to do so. Yeah, absolutely.
So your company's in New York, is that correct? But you live in California?
Yes, yes. It's based in actually Connecticut, so East Coast. Ah. But yes, and then recently moved to California. So now in the Bay Area. So learning the ropes here. Obviously, this is like tech central, right? So
yeah.
Funny enough, I traveled here once a month, you know, for work. So I've cut down my travel time tremendously.
So, you know, now you just have to worry about earthquakes.
Oh, yeah, exactly. And I think, gosh, in an area not too far from me, hour or so in Danville, they had the record like 13, 14 mini earthquakes. I'm like, yeah, not what I signed up for, but yeah. The weather's been great.
No, you can't beat that. I mean, you went from snowstorms, but you also have to, you know, they had some bad fires there last year too, so that's always a concern. But hopefully, yeah, exactly. Look, I don't mean to bring this podcast down. I feel like I've got like Nostradamus here predicting that.
I know. Yeah, please cue into depressing music, right?
So yeah, tell exactly. Us, what are some of the things that you're in that are really piquing your interest right now? Maybe something like net neutrality. What where do you stand there? What's your take? What sort of where are you feeling? How's that going to play out? What do you think?
Right, gosh, net neutrality. So it can evoke emotion, right? And so I'll try to be as nonpartisan as possible and non-political, you know, but I think, you know, it does bring some interesting, you know, impacts on, you know, a few different areas. You know, so for instance, if you're like a large company, you know, say, you know, in the billions, you know, plus revenue scale, right? Ending of net neutrality probably won't affect you as much, but in this one respect, you know, you usually have agreements in place, you know, that were already negotiated with ISPs, you know, that for the most part would sort of prevent any, you know, throttling that, that they can do, and you'd already have, you know, some defined actions set forth. So guys, you know, companies on the smaller scale, small businesses, you know, those with the waste of $1 billion in revenue who may not have those types of negotiated agreements and have their IT in the cloud and most of it in the cloud, you know, they have some legitimate concerns right now. We all hear, you know, granted, you know, Comcast and others, granted, you know, ISPs are saying they won't throttle traffic, you know, for smaller business customers, but I would take it with a grain of salt.
Yeah.
And I would still recommend, you know, organizations do continuous network monitoring to kind of see if there are any changes in cloud performance or limitations due to throttling of bandwidth. And then with that said, even the big companies, they kind of do have to worry about the impact on their customers, the consumers,
right.
You know, because that's where the real concern is. If how they access your services is impacted, then that impacts your business, and, you know, ultimately, you know, they'll let you know via the dollars, right?
Exactly. I mean, if your customers are unhappy because their business, their bandwidth is being throttled, but yours is fine, you know, that's going to be your issue, no matter.
Exactly.
You know,
right. Yeah.
And you know, it's obviously a huge consumer issue as well. You've got this, you know, you've got consumers worried that they're going to have to pay extra for Google or for Facebook or for Netflix or whatever the case
Facebook
is.
Yeah, Facebook premium.
Yeah, something, you know, there's just a, and that, and that's,
exactly.
And that's happened in other countries. There have been applications that have costed more money to get into than standard, you know, standard internet. So, I mean, it's been done before. I think it's in Portugal or Spain I was reading that it's happened. So, I mean, there are examples for the big ISPs to follow.
Oh, yeah, absolutely, absolutely, you know. Long live the free internet, right?
Yeah, I mean, I hope so. So, you know, we'll see what happens. I think, you know, there's been a lot of pushback, obviously, and, you know, it'll be interesting to see how it plays out over the next few weeks to months.
Well, yeah, there could be a lot of unforeseen opportunities within that, too.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's a whole, that runs the gamut.
Mm-hmm.
What are some other sort of inquiry trends that you're seeing that you're excited about or that sort of piqued your interest?
Gosh, so inquiry trends. Yeah. So, gosh, I think we're definitely seeing, you know, a lot of interest right now in regards to artificial intelligence.
Mm-hmm.
As you can imagine, you know, things around, you know, chatbots, you know, machine learning. I think a big thing I'm seeing with enterprises is a big goal towards becoming more conversational, you know, but also intelligent. You know, and so obviously AI there, natural language processing, robotic process automation, those sorts of inquiry trends I'm seeing now on the rise. So it'll come in under, you know, collaboration, digital workplace technology. But then once you begin to talk about it, we'll see all those, you know, buzzwords start to arise around chatbots. You know, let's explain chatbots. How can it impact our business processes and so forth. And so we're seeing a lot of that happen and the overarching themes of, you know, cloud and mobility still ring true as well.
Yeah, chatbots are very interesting. If you could think about how building a website or an application for accessibility issues for somebody that's hearing impaired or blind, to where it's actually going to read you the website with that chatbot.
Yeah, yeah. No, absolutely. Yeah. And that's why I think, you know, gosh, I spoke at the Artificial Intelligence Summit in San Francisco, I think back in September. And yeah, there was a lot of talk. You know, we saw industries like healthcare, right? You know, financial services, you know, where we're seeing, you know, the ability to automate some processes and really about, you know, improving the customer experience, you know, of customers is sort of becoming the primary goal.
Yeah, that's super interesting. Hey, you know what I found also interesting? I was looking through your blog and you have a recent article, I think it was in January this year, and you were writing about how to choose the right partner for webinars. Is this a big pain point that people are having?
Yeah, so it's actually one of, interesting enough, even back from my Gartner days, a big topic that I covered obviously was meetings and conferencing, but webinars was a major topic that I covered. So the one that you saw, that was our second annual report. And, you know, I did one report recently on chatbots, but yeah, but on webinars, yeah, as we're seeing, it's a critical tool for communications, for learning, and in really reaching your audience. So there are two sort of overarching use case buckets, right? The one is internal and then external communications. And so the webinar is an engagement tool, you know, so it's critical for sales and marketing, corporate communications and training. And the marketing use is very popular for engagement, and it sort of becomes a part of your customer journey. So
right.
effective webinar planners and producers, they kind of understand that it's the customer's journey, and it's the customer's experience, right? And they use the webinar as part of that interaction and engagement continuum. You're knowing it's not the end goal in itself, but it goes to supporting this customer experience and also employee experience, you know, so the meeting experience becomes the overall goal and the continued engagement with your audience.
And when you do a report like that, I mean, how long is, or just a little background for our listeners, like when you're doing a report like that, how much research do you do? Take us through a little bit of the background, how you put together a report like that.
Oh yeah, that one, you know, it's, you know, so, and I'll be candid, I can sit here and in the ivory tower, you know, of my, you know, office, and I could write, right? There's a lot of stuff in my head. But what I like to do is I like to get in the trenches. So it'll go through a process of months of just talking to real people, you know, talking to business leaders, talking to IT leaders, understanding what their use cases are. Sometimes that information comes also via the vendors, you know, who will, you know, supply me with, you know, reference customers of people to talk to. But while you may think, you know, sometimes they're just going to send you the best customers, in those conversations, a lot of times I unearth things that the vendor doesn't.
I'm sure, yes, I'm sure.
So I glean a lot, you know, from really talking to customers and getting in the trenches and kind of seeing what their needs and their requirements are.
What are some other kind of topics then that people are asking you about that you find interesting that you're making these kind of reports on?
Yeah, so like I mentioned, I just did a recent report on enterprise chatbots and using that to boost productivity. I did one recently on open cloud communications and collaboration. You know, I do this column, you know, for CIO.com on the digital workplace where I tease a lot of these topics out in articles. And so I'm doing another big report on what I'm calling conversational workspaces or environments. So these are platforms such as Slack, Workplace by Facebook, Microsoft Teams. You saw Google just announced their official launch of their Google Hangouts chat today. So getting a lot of calls from reporters, you know, to get my opinion on that. You know, so we're seeing this whole move towards, you know, what's the sort of new paradigm that it begins to sort of supersede what we looked at as the UC client to now having these conversational workplace environments, these workspaces that support chatbots. They support, you know, they're infused with AI and intelligence, and they can be integrated into specific business workflows, and they bring team messaging, you know, chat, persistent chat, you know, rooms and spaces and so forth. So I'm seeing an interesting shift in a trend towards looking at those offerings. Now, the space is somewhat crowded now with a bunch of different, you know, offerings, but we're going to see as it begins to resonate more and as people really understand that, hey, this needs to scale beyond just a small team. How does an enterprise, right, scale these things? So even Slack themselves, they announced, I think, a year or so ago, what they're calling the enterprise grid, realize that they need to move just beyond supporting a team and also support a whole enterprise with security controls and governance. So we're going to see some interesting moves in that space.
What's your take on the Facebook platform in that space? I mean, do you think it's picked up a lot of steam? Have they? I know that we looked at them for possibly using it as sort of our own intranet internally. But you know what?
Yeah.
What's your take on them? Where do you see them? What do you see them doing?
Man, you know, so obviously it's used internally at Facebook, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, widespread. A lot of it is just culture, right? Because I think that the culture there is one that's conducive, you know, to less email for certain things and more so a lot of team and collaborative work. But like I said, while the space is a little crowded now, you have the Slack, you know, that work is by Facebook. I think we're going to see these particular offerings kind of gain some more traction. With the Facebook piece itself, it's quite similar, you know, as you look at Slack and some of the others, they're quite similar. You know, they have sort of the team room component, you know, persistent spaces, persistent chat. If you remember the IRC, you know, of the
mid-90s.
Oh, yeah. Like, you know, it's 1995 all over again in some respects.
So who's AIM? But, who's AIM in this game? Slack is AIM, right?
Yeah, exactly. You know, and what's new, though, I think, is now taking these things and then integrating them into, you know, business applications. So with the case of, you know, Google Chat Hangouts, it's integrating that into, you know, G Suite and also things like Salesforce. Same thing with, you know, with Workplace by Facebook, is the integration into business application, you know, whether it's your CRM, your ERP, right, and then getting that stuff into the flow of how people work, which is sort of, it's kind of the origin of where I came up with inflow analysis. You know,
right.
Technology has to come in the flow of how people actually work. And so I'm really looking at technology that's doing that. How does it come into the flow and kind of helps me get my work done?
So how do companies like Marketo and Eloqua and those companies fit into that space? Because, you know, they've traditionally thought of themselves as email marketing, as ABM, as you know, sort of real-time personalization, that kind of stuff. How do they factor into this game? Or maybe they don't even know what their plans are for that.
So you look at like Eloqua, like what, Marketo, you know, like Salesforce, and what we're seeing is deeper integrations into those apps, you know, by, you know, what were, you know, communications and collaboration providers, and now these new tools, you know, that I'm calling conversation workspaces, realize that you need deep integrations into these business applications, because these are people's, you know, if I live in my CRM app, mm-hmm. you know, all day, and that's what I'm doing, and if I'm, you know, sort of a customer-facing employee that's, you know, working with a CRM app and then needs to then face and, you know, converse, you know, with the customer, I need the conversation, the data, the context of the internal conversation that can then help the customer or even point that customer to someone, you know, who can actually help them, but then be able to hand off, you know, from a context center perspective, the full data and context, right, of that conversation and, you know, and that customer conversation, the continuum of the conversation from, you know, from before and current, you know, from a marketing perspective, you know, how do we then, you know, organize and collaborate around, you know, marketing initiatives and automation? How do we bring intelligence and then integrate that stuff with the chat box that can automate certain, you know, routines and so forth? So we're seeing, you know, where all these worlds are colliding, which gets to my point, where as I'm looking at the digital workplace, all these worlds are colliding, you know, CRM, ERP, communication and collaboration, and there's no more silos, and you can't, you know, take, again, we used to have the UC department, you know, or UC by itself. Now this stuff has to now be in the guise of how do you, you know, support bidirectional communication internally and also externally.
Yeah, and it's funny you say that, because that's exactly what we're seeing too on our end. As a traditional UCaaS vendor, you know, we get asked all the time to do integrations, and that's where sort of a couple of years ago we decided to go down that path as well. And we have this StarPass platform, which is sort of a combination of a CPaaS and iPaaS and visual components. And that allows us mm-hmm. really to integrate into any business application. So like you were saying, if you live in your CRM, you know, we want to be able to drop in, you know, your traditional mm-hmm. UC functionality into that very easily, very quickly, so that systems integrators, even down to like someone working in marketing, could build out these sort of mm-hmm. very quick if this then that kind of statements, and build in these business processes that factor in, you know, maybe your more traditional UC features and functionality.
Mm-hmm. Oh, and thanks for saying that, because that's exactly, you know, the other trend or the underlying trend, right? These, you know, sort of conversational workspaces, you know, the new UCaaS solutions, right? This new move towards the shift towards integrating, we're seeing now they're emerging as platforms, right? And then platforms with services that can be embedded, right, into applications and processes. And so it's kind of what we thought of when we originally thought of, you know, CBP, you know, back in the day, never realize it, because all these systems are proprietary in nature, right? So the cloud has helped us, you know, to be more open. But yeah, now we can really begin to, you know, talk about with the chatbots and services and APIs really embedding into applications and processes.
And it's really big on the IoT side too, right? Because you've got, you know, things that might be triggered by, I don't know, a fire hydrant or a, you know, a vending machine mm-hmm. or a package delivery or whatever the case is. You've got these very cool app, you know, sort of business flows that can be built off of a simple routine process that had been done for years and years, but had no real intelligence behind it. So, you know, I just think it's very cool stuff. It's very cutting edge. And I think, I mean, it's certainly where we think the future of this industry is.
It's exciting times.
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, it's more than just IoT. It's the, intelligent things, right? And then how those connected, which then, brings a whole new discussion around data, and then how do you manage all that, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, we haven't even talking about the data management side. Getting into that, you could have a whole separate conversation just on that piece.
Absolutely, yeah.
So, well, we don't want to take up too much of your time. You've been so generous with us today, David. We appreciate it. One last thing we always like to know from our guests is, do you have any pets? What's your pet situation? You got any dogs, cats, ferrets?
Four-legged things.
Oh, my goodness. So I have a funny pet story.
Go. Let's see. That's why we always bring this up. Everyone's got a funny pet story.
Oh, yeah. So my daughter, oh, my gosh, from she came out the womb, has worn the dog. And, we just never, we're like, we're so big. I travel a lot, the wife's working. So, we never, really got a chance, to really get down and look and search. And so a couple of years ago, we had an opportunity to pet sit, right? And a friend of ours, was moving and, wanted someone to move out of the country and wanted someone to look at, take care of the pet. So we say, we'll try it out. We babysat. Oh my God, wrong move. It was a no-win situation. I'm like, Biscuit is a nice little Yorkie, white fur. It was, oh my goodness, it was incredible. So by that morning, we're like, we're keeping him. We already had the name set out. My daughter ran off to school the next day telling a friend, we got a dog. I mean, she was the happiest thing on 2 feet. Oh, my goodness.
So now you have Biscuit.
So Biscuit's still around today, I hope. Maybe not. Who knows?
Oh, Biscuit is still around. Biscuit's actually not far from me right here.
Right outside. Is Biscuit just staring at you like, yep, that's me. I ain't going nowhere.
Biscuit's here.
Woof.
Are there any other potential biscuits in the oven, or is this the only biscuit you've got?
It was a milestone move to get this game on console. No pest to pest, but, seeing my daughter's face, it was all worth it. But yeah, if you ever do a trial overnight with a pet,
that's
just know you're going to keep it. It's just going to happen.
So now you're walking a dog, you're walking Biscuit at midnight in the rain, and, your daughter's happy.
Yeah, because now it's my dog, really. It's really my dog, right? Because I'm the one.
Yeah, you're the one
walks.
Taking care of it.
Yeah, so.
Exactly. I'm doing the midnight walks and exactly.
I used to have a dog sit my cousin's dog as a little Yorkie. And every time I would dog sit, it would get in the bed. It would sleep. And it wanted to. I'm not a huge dog person in general, but this dog would literally climb up next to you and just like put its body like right on top. I'm like, I need my space. I woke up one morning, the dog, it was in a king bed. The dog was in the middle. Yeah. It was like, I was on the edge and the dog was right next to me. Scoot over. There's an entire bed here. Anyways.
Oh, they get very clingy.
Exactly. Very clingy. Well, anyways, David, thanks so much for joining us. We got to send you a t-shirt. Make sure you wear it around.
Mm-hmm.
Don't give it to Biscuit. She'll tear it up, so we don't want that to happen. You got to wear it proudly for us.
Or Biscuit can have it. It's
yeah, it's whatever.
Yeah.
But we really appreciate it, and we will look out for you. And if anybody wants to check out David's work, you can go to www.inflowanalysis.com. He's got great pieces up there, lots of reports. Really, really, really interesting stuff. So thanks so much, David, for joining us today. We really appreciate your time.
Thanks for having me. It was fun.
And we're back!
Dang, that was exciting.
Yeah.
That was
boom! Feel the energy.
I don't know about that.
Our
podcast's a little bit, I know you're not used to our podcast. It's a little bit less of that.
Yeah, I'm the energy guy.
No. We're on a different plane.
Way low? Okay.
No,
I
shouldn't
have had all
bit,
that coffee.
10% lower.
Okay.
So Biscuit the dog, I had a biscuit for lunch today. So
you did?
I don't know if that was some sort of sign. I don't know.
Yeah, I think that's serendipity. Where, of course, speaking of David's dog, Biscuit. Not David's dog, but David.
The other David. Yeah, the other. We'll call him the other David. Yeah.
I know, that's
David
a little
Mario.
Meta for everybody. David Mario Smith. Yes, yeah. That's his dog that he inherited, Biscuit.
Yeah, I don't have a dog named Biscuit.
No, you don't have a dog because you don't care for animals so much.
It's not that I don't care for animals. I just don't want to own a dog.
Yeah, fair enough.
We don't have to. We've gone down this path a million times. Yeah. We don't need to.
But that was a great conversation with David.
Yeah, that was really interesting. I mean, clearly a guy who knows his stuff, knows the industry, gets excited by that. You could hear a passion in his voice.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Super smart.
Yeah, really, really cool technology that he's looking at. I want to definitely check out his paper on sort of the chatbots and the AI side, because that's an area that obviously we're seeing a big push into in our industry, is that whole automated conversation and the flow and how you build that into business process. So that's really interesting to me. So we'll definitely check that out.
Yeah, and I thought it was really interesting as well how he made that transition from Gartner being there for 16 years and then running his own company in that same kind of vein, but yet reaching out to
But he mentioned it too, he mentioned, you know, how many other Gartner folks have left and started up their own thing. So I think it's nice to see that they're sort of all stay in touch and
they have a community.
They've got this community of people that they can rely on. Hey, how did you do this? How did you set up this? How do you go? I mean, it's always
nice. Like a mastermind.
Well, I think it's, you know, listen, taking that jump and leaving a paycheck to go do your own thing is always an incredibly risky move, especially with a family and a dog.
Yeah, and why would you want to leave Gartner?
Yeah, right. So I mean, like, you know, it's always risky to have other people who have done that and to be able to ask them questions and get some feedback and to be reassured that maybe you're going to be all right in the long run, I think is good.
Yeah.
So anyway, that was a really good conversation. Frederick, it was great to have you here today. I appreciate you joining me for this podcast.
My pleasure.
And we hope to have Graham back next week.
Yeah.
Any last comments from you, Frederick, that you wanted to talk about?
Yeah. Again, it was super interesting talking to David, the other David. Not that you are not interesting to talk to, David. Double meta.
I mean, we just talk more than you talk to him. I mean,
sorry?
You talk to this David more than you talk to that David.
Yes, that's true. Yes.
So it's not as exciting.
Oh, I see. Like by comparison, otherwise it would be super exciting.
Yeah,
totally. I was thinking the exact same thing.
How many Davids do you regularly speak with?
I normally speak to about several Davids a day, usually 32. 32 Davids.
That's all. That's impressive.
Yeah, well, I have a lot of Davids in my roster, so. Yeah.
You have a roster?
I do have a roster. I carry it around with me.
Frederick also coaches a basketball team, apparently.
I do. We do really good this year. We're thinking of we might make state, so.
Anyways, thanks for joining us on today's episode of Heads in the Cloud. We appreciate it, and stay tuned for our next episode.
Yeah, thanks, everybody, for listening to
Heads in the Cloud.